Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast. See what the guys have to say on Cougar Board. Find them at 4Mac and CougarCast. Go hard, go fast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I'm here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, the Cougars go in to Lincoln, Nebraska Memorial Stadium and snap the 29-game season-opening win streak for the Huskers. With a miracle, the Mangum miracle.
Yeah, I mean, silenced 89,000 fans and then set BYU fans all across the world just into a frenzy.
Where were you?
I was in Oregon at this random sports bar in Canby, Oregon, the only BYU fan in there, and made a complete fool of myself. Like, I mean, I immediately was just jumping and celebrating, hands in the air, and the whole sports bar turns. But they were happy for me. I got a lot of like handshakes as if I did something to win that game. You know, it was a
sports are cool, aren't they?
I think that moment's gonna go down to where were you when Mitch Matthews caught the Hail Mary? I think every BYU fan will know where they were when they saw that.
It was an exciting game, obviously, tremendous, tremendous victory, great effort by the Cougars, able to overcome a lot, including, you know, clock mismanagement, timeout mismanagement,
injuries,
failures to tackle. there's a lot of things in there, and they still found a way, and that's good. You know, they didn't play a complete game, and they didn't have together. I actually think in a lot of ways Nebraska played maybe even a little bit cleaner of a game, if that makes sense. Would you agree or disagree with that? I don't know.
I would agree with cleaner. I've heard people say that Nebraska looked like the better team, and I disagree with that. I mean, we had a run there where we looked like a heck of a lot better team, and we let them off the hook with some drop passes.
Well, and that's it. That's the drop pass by Algernon Brown in particular, right before the end of the first half, was the one that I remembered. That was one of the biggest takeaways for me, and I When you have a game against a team like Nebraska in their house, you have to shut the door on them. And they had a chance. The fumble recovery was fantastic by Fred Warner, and then they went out and scored right away. And now they're up 10. They forced, I think, a three and out, the only one of the game. And they got the ball back, short field, and then they went for it on fourth down, and Algernon Brown had a chance. He could have scored a touchdown had he just caught it. And instead, he drops the ball, and we're going the other way. And the Cougars fortunate on that one. There's a chance maybe that Nebraska could have scored and put a field goal through. But that's neither here or there. Tosh, what are your big takeaways from the game? I already mentioned one of mine is the killer instinct. Put a team away. And they had the opportunity. They did not do it. And that'll be something to keep an eye on. When you have windows like that open up to you on the road against important, you know, they might get a chance like that against UCLA. They might get a chance like that against Michigan. They happen to win still, but they need to shut the door.
They still showed some killer instinct in the opposite end of things, where when they needed a big play to stay alive, they didn't crumble. You know, they had big defensively too, where it was, you knew they were going to run, they only needed 1 yard, we needed a stop, and we got the stop multiple times. And so, and then obviously with the Kurtz catch, with the Matthews catch, with Tanner just staying alive.
If you shut the door, you don't need miracles.
Agreed. But I feel like I wish we were a step on their throat when we're a head team, but I still like, I think we have some killer instinct in intense moments to be able to come up with a big play.
What's your takeaway from the defensive performance for the Cougars?
I feel like our pass rush is substantially better. I'm really worried with the injury of Tulioma. We do have that. There's a guy that was suspended last week, Tuuli, or I can't say his name, but you should be our Polynesian.
I don't have it either. I know who you're talking about.
But have a guy defensive coming lineman. Back. Yeah. Yep.
Taulili or something like that.
Our linebackers looked good. I really felt, and we have Taki coming back. The big disappointment was our secondary. That I felt like, just like in bad years in the past, we were given huge cushions and just giving them 10-15 yards at the line. And so I'm worried about our secondary, but hopefully that can stiffen up.
I thought the defense obviously started out really poor, right? Their tackling was bad. By the way, what Mike Riley does, the stuff that he does with the screen passes and all the different looks that he kind of gives in that way, it's a tricky defense. You know, it gets people out in space to go and make plays. So it's hard to tackle a guy in open space. But the Cougars really struggled with that. They shored it up a little bit in the second half, and that. At least down the stretch of the game, they had periods of time, but forcing three and outs, forcing teams off the field, they forced a couple turnovers, and obviously the fumble recovery was just that was the really big one. That was the massive one. They got an interception, and it didn't turn into anything because Taysom threw a pick too. But the main thing is that I thought that the defense did a nice job. It looked like it could get really ugly in the first quarter. I was getting nervous.
Oh, yeah. Totally. When they just went down and scored and made it look so easy, it's like, oh, crap.
So, and it's one of those things, did we realize how important Travis Tuiloma was? I knew he was good. I've always been higher on him than I think you have. I've always appreciated and thought he was a good player.
He looked a lot better this year than he did last year. I think because a year off of his mission, you know, to really get in football shape, he was a man child out there. And then you saw a big difference when he wasn't out there.
They were able to run.
Yeah.
Nebraska was not able to run. And then when they lost, or when the Cougars lost Tuiloma, then suddenly Nebraska could run. Tuiloma out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yep, hopefully he's a fast healer.
And so what we understand, right, is that Logan Taiele is going to take over that defensive tackle spot. So we'll have to see. But you lose a little depth there, and those things hurt.
And right? We have guys that I feel like can be stopgaps. Remington Peck has proven that he can be a serviceable.
Well, he'll be at the end, right?
Well, but he's been playing some inside, okay, too. And so, but yeah, I think that they're just going to mix with it because, yeah, they move Taiele in.
I mean, it's the most important at 3-4, right? 3-4 defense, that defensive tackle, if they don't hold ground and occupy more than one blocker,
it's the key to the run defense.
Then everything is up in smoke. So that's a particularly bad loss. Obviously, the injury to Taysom Hill, the Liz Frank sprain, fracture, whatever you want to call it, Liz Frank injury is a bad one.
Yeah.
After Chad Lewis, he had his career essentially ended by a Liz Frank fracture, and he caught the game-winning touchdown pass in the NFC Championship game in 2004, went immediately off, tried to begin the rehab process, and only played half the season 2005 and hung it up. Limited downs. So literally a bad one. I was reading an old Deseret News article about Liz Frank fractures with this in respect to Chad Lewis. And it said in there, Chad Lewis said, you know, if you tear an ACL, they look at you and say, you'll be back in a year. And you have an injury to your Liz Frank, and they say, this might be it. So I hope for the best for Taysom Hill. Certainly, you know, polarizing, but always interesting. And I thought that Taysom Hill's career, when he would run, I mean, that was electric. That's the main thing that I'll remember about Taysom Hill. I've seen, you know, I know it's a little early. People have tried to. I've seen people rank him as high as like the third greatest BYU quarterback ever. Those things are silly to me. But he was good and had a lot of potential. It looked like it was coming together. I feel heartbroken for him.
He gave us a chance. I feel like if he doesn't play again, my lasting legacy of him to me is that he always gave us a chance to win, no matter who we played. I felt like we most likely had the best athlete on the field and that he would give us a chance to win. But let's I don't want to spend all day on this because I think there's a silver lining, and I'm excited about the Tanner Mangum era.
Tanner Mangum, my big takeaway with Tanner Mangum is this, is he didn't look afraid. He looked like he belonged out there, and beyond that, he looked like he could make things happen for you. And there's a lot of teams that have a quarterback, and it's just okay. I cheer for Stanford. So it was bad. The morning started bad, and then it got better against Nebraska. But they are on year four now of the Kevin Hogan project. And there's been times where he's been really good, and there's times where he's looked only okay. But you've never felt like, well, thank goodness we got Kevin Hogan on our team. Right? He's always been okay. He's been just fine. I don't see Tanner Mangum as one of those guys. I think that he's a guy that you can really go to battle with, and he can have a lot of special, high-caliber games and give you a chance to win by virtue of having him on your squad. You can just see it. And all I'm saying, I don't want to heap too much, but all I'm saying is the class of player that he is one that is going to be one of the better quarterbacks in college football.
He looked poised. We knew he had a rocket for an arm. And he does. He's got a quick release. He's got a great arm. He can make touch throws, deep throws.
What did we learn about him, though? That he was elusive. He could move.
Scramble. He was running for first downs. Was missing.
But beyond that, he was buying time in the pocket.
Exactly. There would be unblocked blitzers in, and he would find a way to elude them and get the pass off. Like, I'm excited about Mangum. Before we dive too much into that, though, let's talk Boise State, because we've got a dang good football team coming into town this Saturday.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that Boise State won one of the New Year's Six Bowls last year? They were 12-2 last year. They lost to Ole Miss, who was fantastic. And then they had a quarterback who threw like five interceptions against Air Force, and that sunk them. So that was their two losses. They won the Fiesta Bowl last year. This is a very talented team. And beyond that, they return. They're really good team. Here's what they have. They have their top three wideouts. They have all their tight ends coming back. Every offensive lineman had two all-conference performers in it. They had all but one defensive lineman coming back, and two of the guys on the defensive line were going to be starters last year until they missed last year with injury. They had the top four linebackers. They're all coming back. Five of their top six safeties are coming back. Both of their starting corners are coming back. And then they ended up signing one of the very best mid-major recruiting classes coming into this year. That's a lot of guys returning. The only place that they don't return people, quarterback and running back.
Those are kind of important positions.
They're important positions, and certainly, of course, and especially with the way that Boise State like to run the football. They run a lot, right? They pound the football. Jay Ajayi, you know, he always was running 25 times per game all the time. And so steady diet of the run. They are a run-heavy team. But, again, returning all your offensive line with some really good players in it and all that. Anyway, lots of talent on this team, 12-2. But, again, quarterback and running back are new faces. So let's start with the quarterback.
So they've got a guy, Ryan Finley. He started, you know, against Washington, but he didn't have a great game. 16 for 26, only 129 yards on the game, and had a pick and no touchdowns. And the bigger thing to me is the coaches didn't act like they had a whole lot of confidence in him, because he only threw the ball 27 times, and they rushed the ball 53 times. So they ran it twice as often as they trusted in him to pass the ball. So they know where their bread's going to be buttered, and they don't feel like that's with Ryan Finley tossing the ball through the air.
Yeah, right now they trust him to be a game manager, and they can win with him being a game manager. We think Washington's good, right? I mean, they're up and coming. They're at least a very competent Pac-12 team.
I think their defense is good. I think their offense is terrible.
For Washington?
Yeah, I think Washington's offense is terrible. But who knows? I mean, you never really know anything after one game.
But we do know that, again, Boise, though, a lot of talent coming back. But it is true. It's not like that they've got a guy who is slinging the ball around who's really going to help them. Beyond that, they don't look for him to throw downfield. And it looks like you could probably beat the Cougars downfield.
That's what makes me think they might throw. If you're Boise State and you're looking at BYU's game on Saturday, I think you're really tempted hard to have a game plan of, hey, let's pass it to our talented receivers and have them go against BYU's DBs. But can Ryan Finley do that? Who I look at as Boise State's player to watch, Jeremy McNichols. That guy, they have a lot of faith in him. They gave him the ball 24 times. He had two touchdowns. He had their two touchdowns. And so that's a guy that I think they're going to really look to pound it against BYU and test to see how our run defense looks even without Tulioma.
He's a handful. He's a new running back there, but he looked good and was stifled a little bit, but they were able to be stubborn and gain some yards. They also will pound it with Kelsey Young. He's a transfer from Stanford and good. And then another guy, he didn't have a great game the week before, but Devin Demas is a fast player. He's a fast running back. So if they find a way to get him in some space, he could cause some trouble. Last year, it wasn't the run game, though, that burned the Cougars when they played Boise State. It was through the air. And so you're right. There's some reason to be optimistic because if they're going to burn them for 55 points again, we think it has to happen through the air.
So here's some stats on that. And hopefully, as fans, we can't let last Saturday's victory just send us into we're going undefeated mode yet, because Boise State crushed us. They scored 32 points on us in the first half, 55 in the game last year, and they have most of that, 90% of that team's returning. Here's a couple things. They bring back a receiver, Thomas Spurbeck, who had 150 yards receiving against us last year. They threw as a team for 410 yards, and they're bringing all those receivers back. So, like, we really, I think that's the matchup to watch. Is their receiving core / passing game against our ability to fluster and put pressure on their quarterback and our DBs to cover their receivers?
And beyond Spurbeck, they have Williams Rhodes is a great little short route player. If they throw it his way, last year he caught 90% of passes thrown his way. That's insane. And they also have a tight end who is effective in Jake Rowe. So a lot of talent is available to them, and it looks like that they've been able to find a replacement for Ajayi with McNichols. And so really, offensively, they've been able to put 16 points up against that Washington defense. They didn't look like a juggernaut, and so it comes down to Ryan Finley. It really does. So how have the Cougars done at neutralizing sort of a game management quarterback? Okay, and this player is a little better than what we'll see with Ryan Finley, but last year it kind of reminds me of like Stave from Wisconsin, where it was just like, just don't make any mistakes and give us a chance to let everybody else go to work. And I keep thinking about Wisconsin as I pay attention to this Boise State team. I just kind of feel like a little worse quarterback than what Wisconsin had, but they are very similar. You think that's a fair comparison?
Yeah, I think it is. That they're not looking for him to be dynamic. They're looking for him to just distribute it to playmakers and let them be dynamic. I feel like I like our chances with Bronco being able to use our what looks to be a new and improved pass rush, especially in the second half of last game.
So the craziest thing.
Let's hear it.
Bronson Kafusi? Better at defensive end than linebacker.
Oh yeah, he was a beast. He had plays where he made their O line look silly, and if he can do that again, I'm really stoked on, you know, Taki's coming back. Fred Warner looked great. If we can get a pass rush going, it could. That's what's going to give Finley fits.
Fit Finley. Let's talk Harvey Longhi for a second.
Okay.
He looked like a guy new to the position of middle linebacker.
I like how hard he plays, but I agree with you. He took some bad angles, which I think he's going to realize and hopefully improve upon. A lot of times, like our guy was getting blocked, and he would angle it in a way where he let that blocker block him too. And so I think he's going to learn just to play the angles a little better.
It's just experience, right? The Boise State defense is nothing to mess with. That is a great defense over there. And truly, they look better this year. It looks like they're going to be effective. Actually, people were able to get to this defense a little bit last year, but with some experience under their wings, I just think, you know, like BYU was able to put 30 points up against this defense last year with just trying to adjust to the new system, Christian Stewart as the quarterback. So I think points are available against this defense, but I do think they're improved. I don't think that they're going to be giving up, you know, tons of points, but I do think that you can score on them. It's not like they're complete lockdown defense, but they are experienced. They know what they're doing. They're trying to accomplish, and I think that we're going to see some struggles for the BYU offense against that Boise State defense.
Because, do you know, Washington scored zero offensive touchdowns against this Broncos defense. Their only touchdown was a punt return. So Boise could have an incredible defense. They returned almost everybody. I think this is going to be the test for them to see how good their defense is.
Are we sure? Because let's talk about the struggles for BYU's offense. Outside of Taysom Hill, nobody looked like they could run the football.
That is for sure.
Okay, no disagreement there. So the rushing,
except Tanner Mangum, and Hine had a couple. Yeah,
but they weren't getting anywhere running the football.
Our worst position group was running backs.
They didn't run.
No one's going to argue with that.
They didn't run very well. Okay, so I don't know that we can run the football effectively at all at this point.
Our strongest position group, though, may have been receivers.
Oh, sure. It was.
And so that's where it gives me some hope offensively.
But, really good experience, tough defense, and first start for the young Tanner Mangum.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a lot of pressure. He's the key to the game.
That's for Tanner Mangum to get started this way, that is a very, very difficult way to get started. I'd feel better if they were playing like Weber State or something, or if Wagner was this week. I'd love to see him handle this scenario. So, what are some of the things that they can do to try to work Tanner Mangum into the system, or do you think they just let him go?
I think you simplify the offense. You obviously don't have as many read option plays, but I don't think you dumb it down too much. I think Tanner, he looked poised. He was thrown in there with no adjusted game plan and looked was. I think the keys to the game this week for BYU, number one for me is offensive line. That's a strong game from the offensive line is what Tanner needs. And then obviously Tanner comes up huge. We need the receivers. But then on defense, it really comes down to me on our pass rush. Any other big keys that jump out to you on the defensive side of the ball besides pass rush?
Shore up the run.
Maybe better tackling?
It's better tackling, but it's the run. I mean, the second half against the run wasn't great. And they've got to do a good job against the run against Boise State. Boise State wants to run the football. And it's similar to, you know, when teams would – earlier in Taysom's career when they had stacked the box and forced him to throw. It's the same thing we got to do. We got to really try to find a way to force Boise State to beat us through the air.
Yep, I totally agree.
So pass rush when they throw, and then when they run, stop the run. So play perfectly.
There we go. That's a good segue to, I think, our listeners' favorite segment is Keith's worst case scenario for this game.
Worst case scenario for the game against Boise State. It's the worst case scenario is Ryan Finley finds a way to start throwing the football. If he can start throwing it intermediate and downfield, and he can start looking down that way, and he finds his receiver. Spurbeck starts going. That is the worst-case scenario for the Cougars in this game. And also, I guess on the other side, Tanner Mangum looks overmatched by the moment that it's his first start. There's some there's a learning curve, obviously, and he's got to work his way into the system. And if he ends up looking like he's a little bit behind what we hope he's at, that's, you know, that. So it really comes down to quarterbacks. It's a couple inexperienced quarterbacks, and which one can be the most effective. And I feel like the Boise State defense is in a better position to cause problems for Tanner Mangum than maybe the BYU defense is ready to cause problems for Finley. And so if Finley can get in a groove and feel good, that is going to be the worst case scenario for BYU. Tosh, what's the best case scenario?
Best case scenario, Tanner Mangum looks just as poised as he did last Saturday. And that what I loved about, so I've gone through and watched every single one of his plays. What he poised is the word I keep wanting to say. He was poised in the pocket, making very good throws. What the thing that put the biggest smile on my face, I knew he had a rocket for an arm, but he was making some short passes, one in particular to Juergens. If any of you guys are going back to watch it, watch the pass that he hits on Juergens. It's an intermediate pass, but he throws it right in the only place that Juergens can catch it in stride, and the defender who had good coverage had no chance. That's best case, is that we have Tanner just having time and picking him apart. And then on the reverse side, that Finley is inexperienced, is in over his head, playing a much better defensive mind and defensive players than last week. And that we are knocking him down, beating the crap out of him. And next thing you know, we're getting picks, getting short fields. That's how we win this game.
They got to force turnovers, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it helped last week, but short fields with turnovers.
I expect to see some sack fumbles. I expect to see some pressure on him and him throwing some picks.
All right, it's time for 10 for Tosh. 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. These are not opinion, they are fact. Question number one, who passes for more yards, Tanner Mangum or Ryan Finley?
This one is obvious, Tanner Mangum. A, I think he's a better quarterback. B, he's going to have double the attempts. He will have a much better throwing the ball game than Ryan Finley.
Question number two, does BYU have any running back rush for over 50 yards? Can you believe that that's the question at this point?
It's sad that that's the question, and it's even sadder that the answer is no. I don't think we will. I think that the only... Where's 2014 Algie Brown? I want 2014 Algie Brown, the guy that we didn't get him on Saturday. Hopefully he emerges. Adam Hine looked better, but I still don't think we have any running back get 50 yards.
That defensive line for Nebraska was legit.
Oh, yeah, but I think Boise's is legit as well.
Yeah. Question number three, does Tanner Mangum rush for over 50 yards?
No, but I think he's going to be closer than people think. That guy can scramble.
I don't want him to run.
But he can move with his feet. I don't think he's going to be a Taysom running into linebackers runner. But, you know, he can scramble and dive for first downs. I bet you he has over 25, but he's not going to get over 50.
Scrambling to get out of pressure and stuff like that, I'm okay with. Designed runs for Tanner Mangum, no sack.
Hopefully there's none of those.
Question number four. Who leads the BYU Cougars in receptions this week?
I'm going to toot my own horn and say last week I knew it was Kurtz when everyone thought it would be Matthews, but Kurtz came through. This week, it's going to be a man by the name of Colby Pearson. Hometown is Idaho. He plays
home
up
state.
For this game. Home state. Idaho's not a town. It should be. But
home it feels like a town.
Home state of Idaho.
You go into the restaurants and the women are spitting in spittoons.
He had 108 yards receiving last year. He actually verbally committed to Boise before he switched, and I think he plays big last year in this game. He's going to play big again this year. But our receivers, we're going to throw the ball around. But he's going to surprise people with the best game.
Question number five, new backup. He's only one play away. Bo Hodge. Will Bo Hodge play any snaps?
No. I think that Tanner is going to... He doesn't take the big hits. He's elusive. Hodge is going to be holding up signs with a headset on for the while, but we will see him this year. I mean, you always see the second string. So it's interesting that our number top two quarterbacks now, both freshmen.
Poor McCoy Hill.
Yeah.
Question number six. Which player who's returning? So Taki Taki Nakua.
Die.
Or Trey Dye.
And then there's the man that we should learn to pronounce
his name. Talalui or whatever, yeah.
So
who will make the biggest difference of the guys who were suspended last week?
Taki Taki. He's going to have two sacks.
Whoa.
And he will let his presence be known. That guy is a player. Last year, as a freshman, he was our best pass rusher. This year, you know, he's going to come out big. And I don't know if the Broncos are game planning for him. And he has two sacks, and he's the biggest returning player.
Question number seven. Will Kai Nakua make a noticeable difference?
Yes. I predict he has a pick. I think Nakua is a better player than anyone realizes. Last year, again, as a young freshman, gets in there and makes some plays. Is he a sophomore?
He took over for Craig Bills, and it went pretty well.
The guy's a player.
I think he is a sophomore.
And I feel like he's going to... He gets an interception this Saturday.
Question number eight. How many times will our quarterback, Tanner Mangum, be referred to as Magnum?
At least twice. I think that it's like impossible for these out-of-state broadcasters to get... That name Mangum is so... You know, he's just... I bet his whole life, though, he's been called Magnum.
Or they're really excited for Zoolander 2. Whatever the case is, it certainly can't hurt Tanner Mangum's already high approval rating on campus. Certainly can't hurt him to be known as Magnum.
I think that joke went over most of our listeners.
All right, question number nine. How many orange shirts will be in the crowd this Saturday night?
Too many. That's one of my fears, is that... Out of any home game I can ever remember, the biggest, besides Utah, the biggest turnout from opposing fans is Boise State. And where, you know, it's a...
Well, it's their chance to come to the big city.
It's close proximity.
It's their chance to come to the big city. You know how we get excited about going to Las Vegas? They get excited about coming to Salt Lake City and Provo.
Very, very, very true. And there will be plenty of orange shirts, and their numbers will look boosted because of all of our ushers wearing faux Boise State jackets.
And question number 10, what will Sunday's newspaper headline be?
Broncos appear to be confused of playing on the green field.
That's a long one.
Yeah, the editor might shorten that to...
He should.
The Broncos dazed by Greenfield. How's that?
Oh, boy. Oh, gosh. I hope it doesn't say Orange Crush. How about that?
Yeah, it won't.
Well, as always, it's always important to remember as BYU fans, that as great as hitting a Hail Joseph, Hail Mary, whatever you want to call it, at the end of the game is, and how great that feels, all of that pales in comparison to in importance to what we're really trying to do here with the football team. And so once again, it is time for me to break the news. This is breaking news about what Broncos Fireside Talk is. And I saw that he was doing research for this on Alta Vista.
You know a lot about
this. Yeah. This week, by the way, the Fireside Talk taking place at Velour. So enjoy that. And the title of the talk is Overcoming Har Sin.
Ah, he's taking a little shot at their coach. He's
taking a little shot at the coach. Overcoming Har Sin.
All right.
I don't know what kind of sin Har is, but I abhor all sin. And I'm sure Bronco does too.
Most fans, there's like a rumor that we don't do firesides at home games, but you break the news every time and you tell them where they're going to, this week they can go to Velour to hear the fireside.
Go check it out at Velour. You know, they're bumping some band that thinks they have a clever name.
But then next up is Bronco.
And that is going to be the Bronco Fireside Talk Friday night at Velour. Talk titled Overcoming Harson. Also, by the way, on the home thing, why don't they do the... They should do the fireside, like a home fireside, for one game a year, or all of them. But how cool would it be fireside?
I think one game a year, I'd be fine. We don't need it every time, because we already have a lot of availability to that type of access to the team. But yeah, I think one game a year would be great. Maybe homecoming.
I mean, I think it would be pretty fun. But that's just me. Yesterday, Tosh, it was the 25th anniversary of what we're about to talk about right now. Week 2, 1990 season, coming into Cougar Stadium. Dennis Erickson brings his son as the quarterback. It is quarterback U East versus quarterback U West. And this was pitted as sort of a loser leaves town for the Heisman race between Erickson and Detmer. And it turned out that Detmer would win that competition. Early in the game, Miami took the lead, but Ty Detmer brings the Cougars back with elusive pocket presence as he finds in the end zone Matt Bellini. Later in the game, he also finds Mike Salito after almost dying. You know this play. Russell Maryland and Jesse Armstead closing in on Ty Detmer. They're going to sandwich him. And at the very last moment, Detmer decides to take a step back. He pump fakes, and he finds Mike Salito cutting across the end zone. Touchdown. Cougars take the lead. Two-point conversion goes to Eric Drage. 28-21. BYU pulls off the upset, and the greatest game in Lavelle Edwards Stadium history is had.
Let's hope we beat it.
Why do we hate Boise State?
So here's a look into some of our show prep. Sometimes with some of these teams, I have to look long and hard to find a reason to hate. With Boise, with all the stuff that I can hear and read about them, it might actually be harder to find a reason to like them. There are countless lists on the internet of reasons to hate Boise State. But here are three things that really jumped out to me that I think will get BYU fans fired up of reasons to hate Boise State.
Oh, really? Because everyone that likes Boise State's like, you hate us because you ain't us.
Well, listen to these reasons. One of the most common reasons why people hate Boise State is their fan base and city is not very diverse. It's mostly white. And that really fires people up.
It's not inclusive, is it?
Here is reason number two why people hate Boise. In the winter, they have terrible air quality.
Oh my gosh.
They have something that people call inversion that just drives people nuts.
And what is it? Is it just tractors?
Here's reason number three that I found on multiple sites of why people hate Boise. Too many Mormons.
Oh my gosh.
They're a very, very Mormon community. And so those are this week's three reasons to hate Boise State.
And they play pretty good football, don't they?
They do.
Tosh, I was looking up with you. I was trying to find stuff. And there's a study that came out this spring from an LSU economics professor who's trying to figure out who the most hated team in college football was. His number one team, Boise State.
Who was number two?
BYU.
Aha! Maybe that...
So that's the way. That's why we hate them. Have they taken our spot as the most hated team in the country?
We want to be number one most hated, number one most cold... What do they call it? Cold stone sober? Yeah. Stone cold, probably.
We're definitely not cold stone sober.
Big difference. Yeah, but we don't drink much booze. We want to be number one in everything.
Yeah, that's right. So, all right, so there it is. Boise State, BYU. Big, you know, it's sort of a rivalry now at this point.
Well, we play them every year, which is fun. They're dang good. Like, I love that we play them every year. But it's going to suck if it gets out of control. So we need to win this game so we're at least 500 in the last couple games.
I would love to see BYU win this game. Which would you – I mean, obviously you want to see him win both. But which is the bigger game to you, Utah State or Boise State at this point?
Ah, that's tough. If I had to choose which two fan bases I'd want to send home to
one, if you had to lose to one but win to the other, who would you
– It's still Utah State for me. That I can't – a victory against Boise State feels better. But if the question's asked which one sucks to lose to more – it's Utah State.
All right,
so
good question.
There's my answer.
Good way of handling that one. All right, it's now time for game and score predictions. Tosh, how do you see the first quarter going?
The first quarter?
Yeah.
We're really narrowing this down. So I see the first quarter in neither team offensively playing that great, that both quarterbacks trying to fill out the defense. I think as the game goes on, that this turns into a little bit of a shootout where both offenses have the playmakers to put up points. So I think it starts slow and just ends in high volume points.
Which team has the better offense, BYU or Boise?
Ah, man, it's hard to say. I would have said BYU, except our running back core was so bad on Saturday. Right now I'd say it's even, but if our running backs can take a step in the right direction, I'm going BYU.
Which team has the better defense?
Boise.
Which team has the better special teams?
BYU.
BYU. Boise's kicker missed an extra point, baby.
How great is it that we're stoked on our kicking game?
Let me tell you something. It was too far. It was too far. But had they been able to gain a few more yards, I had 100% confident that Trevor Sampson was going to knock it through, baby.
Yeah. No.
How crazy is that? I'm on the Trevor Sampson chain. He might be one of my favorite players on the team.
Okay, let's hear your game. Well, let's hear your score prediction.
All right, I'm with you. Shootout, man. And I think BYU, in order to win, they've got to score a lot of points. And they need to find it maybe from special teams, maybe find it from defense. Shootout, man. I think I think Boise State's going to win. I think they're too good. 12-2 last year. I know that they don't have a great quarterback, but I think they're too good, man, too well-rounded of a team. They're on the road. Let's put them at 38, Boise State 38, BYU 28.
Our scores are close. One big difference. I have the Cougs on top. The score will be 38-31 BYU. That I think that... both teams score, but I think their quarterback will make more mistakes than our freshman quarterback, and that we're going to come out on top.
I love it. You know when I make these predictions, I hope I'm wrong.
No, I know that.
Like, I had a lot of people who were, like, giving me some junk about what I said, about how I thought we'd lose to Nebraska. And, of course, I was 1 second away from being correct about that. But I'm so glad I was wrong, and I hope I'm wrong again.
No, I know you. I know... Even though you're pessimistic on game predictions, I know you want us to win and that you go crazy when we win and you're heartbroken when we lose.
Yes. So that's it. So it's the letdown, man. I'd rather be surprised than happy. The letdown is too much for me.
Let's hope we're just as excited about this result as we were last week. Should be a fun one.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!